Good morning. On Thursday, many of us will participate in, which is a holiday here in the United States. Many of us will participate in this time of Thanksgiving. And we're encouraged as we talk about Thanksgiving, we're encouraged to think about what it is that we are to be thankful for. We have a lot of things that we can sit back and we can think about and think, hey, I need to be thankful for this. And many Americans, when they think about what they're thankful for, do they really know who it is that they're thankful to? They say, oh, I'm thankful for my house and my car and my wealth. But who's the one who provided that to them? God, yeah. And so today we're going to think about that a little bit more. Last week we talked about the love of Christ, the love that God and Christ have shown us, and how we are to be thankful for that love. Because are we deserving of that love? Have we been perfect in the sense of flawless? Have we been able to earn that love? No, God loves us unconditionally. This week, we're going to list off a couple more things that, hey, we should be thankful for. And as we enter into this time of thinking about what it is that we are thankful for, maybe this can help you guide your mind. Thanks or thanksgiving or thankfulness is showing one praise or giving gratitude. It's used over 100 times in the Bible. What was read for us this morning out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, Paul uses thankful or thankfulness or giving thanks three times in just three verses. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to the God, to God the Father. So we see that we are called in one body. We are all part of the one true church. We are called through Christ to be part of that body. We should be thankful for that, shouldn't we? Then he says that we are to sing songs and to admonish and teach one another. And to, as we sing songs, we're to reflect on thanksgiving. Giving thanks and thankfulness for, hey, this is what God has done for us. As we sing songs, it's really, it's a prayer. And we sing all kinds of different songs that are spiritually minded songs, but when we look at each one of them, we think of what God has provided for us. And we're singing our thankfulness to him. We just sang a song, God is Love. As we talked about last week, as we sing that, what are we thankful for? We're thankful that God is love. That God is merciful, that he is kind, that he takes care of us, that he provides for us, and that he loves us. And whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. We need to show and give thanks, show praise and gratitude to God for all the things that he has done for us, for all the things that he's going to do for us. We sing a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. If we sit down and we write down every single blessing that God has provided for us, are we able to hit every single one of those blessings? Absolutely not. Because there are things that we know about. There are things that we don't know about. There are things that we don't consider a blessing that, hey, guess what? In 5, 6 years down the line, we'll realize how big of a blessing that was. But we give thanks to God for everything that he has done for us. So to help us think of what we can be thankful for, let's start with, we can be thankful for life. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. David writes, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." And to Jeremiah, he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." God created each one of us. He has set in motion our lives. He formed us in our mother's womb, each one of us. And we can think about our life and say, oh man, I wish that I wasn't here, or oh, I wish that I wasn't born, or I wish that my life was different. But God planned out our lives. God has a will for each one of us. And it's up to us to decide, hey, am I going to obey? Am I going to follow his will for my life? Or am I going to do my own thing? Am I going to live the life that I want to live? To Jeremiah, he writes that before I formed you, I knew you, I consecrated you, I had a plan for you to become prophet to the nations. This is a command that's given, or not a command, but this is given to Jeremiah. This is talking about Jeremiah, that Jeremiah was going to become a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah could have decided, hey, he had free will just like the rest of us. He could have decided, I'm not going to follow you. He could have decided, I'm not going to obey and do what you have asked me to do. God gave us life. He continues to give us life every single day that we wake up, that we get out of bed, we emerge from under those covers and we stand up and walk. God has given us that life. Now it's up to us to decide what to do with it. We can easily be like Paul, who was first Saul, and kick against the goads and say, I'm not going to follow, I'm not going to obey, and I'm not going to do what you want me to do, God. Or we can be like Jeremiah, who did what God asked him to do. We think of our life and we think about all the turmoil that's in it and all the pain, all the turbulence that is in our lives, and we say, why am I here? Why was I born now? Why can't I live 200 years in the future? Why can't I live, 50 years ago? Life was so much better. So life will be so much better. Why? When we think of Esther, chapter 4, verses 14, in the second half, it says, "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" You have been put where you are for a reason. God, who determines our limits, determines our time, He has put you here for a reason. Esther was put into a position of leadership. She was made queen. Why? So that she could help rescue the people. You are here for such a time as this. You are here to use your life for God. Yes, you could have been born 200 years ago. You could have been born 200 years in the future. You could have been born at any point that God decided, but you are here now and you have this one life to live here. Be thankful for that life that God has given you. And choose to follow Him. Next thing is, be thankful for God providing for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." As we're talking about Philippians in our Sunday morning class, it's a message of encouragement. It's a lesson of hope, telling them to continue to run the race, continue to do what is pleasing in God's eyes. And what's surprising about that is knowing where Paul is during this time. Paul's in prison. He's under house arrest in Rome. He's unsure of the future, that what the future holds for him. And yet he writes to them saying, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches." Now notice something. He does not say all of your wants. We can sit here, and if you make a list, how many items can you put on that list that you want? Off the top of my head, I can think of at least three things that come to mind that I want. Are those things that I need? No. But God is going to provide all that I need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's pointing out, don't worry about what you need. Don't worry about, hey, here's the things that I need, the food that I need, the drinks that I need, the water that I need, the what I need to wear, the warmth that I need. I need all these things. Don't worry about that. God will provide those to you. And he says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. What were the Gentiles looking, who were the Gentiles hoping that would provide their needs? Those idols. They're hoping, here's our gods, small g, that we worship, and we're asking them to provide all of our needs. What's funny about that is you think about who made those gods. Who built them? Who carved them out of wood or molded them from clay or crafted them from stone or precious metals? And yet they're looking for their needs in all the wrong places. But God provides to those who follow him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. The point that John makes here is to ask according to his will. As I mentioned, we can make a list. You can sit down tonight or right now and you can list off 7 things that you want. And some of those things are things that you need also. Don't take me the wrong way. But you can list off some things that, hey, are not the most necessary things that you need right this second. For me, I can sit here and say, hey, I want a bigger TV. Is that something that I need right this second? Is my TV a necessity? No. Yes, it provides me with entertainment and relaxation and help. It helps me to distract myself from, hey, the way of the world today. But do I need that? No. I can say, oh, I want the newest iPhone. I want the best of the best. Do I need that? No. I need a phone that makes phone calls and sends text messages, and that's it. I don't need to be able to, I don't know, do some of the things that they're able to do on these phones. I don't need to, you watch these commercials and they're shooting movies with their new iPhones. I don't need that. I don't need that technology. What I need is, hey, for my work, for what I do, for who I am, I need to be able to communicate with people, and that's it. There's a lot of things that we want, but we need to ask ourselves, is that something that we really need? And when we ask God for it, when we ask God to provide for us, he's looking at that as, is that something that they need? We get it discouraged when we ask God to help us, to provide for us, and God does not provide for us in the way that we want him to provide for us. We ask for the best car on the road today. We ask for the best motorcycle, the best bike, whatever transport you use. You ask God for the best of the best. But what do you really need? With a car, you need, hey, something that can get you from point A to point B, that has 4 wheels, an engine, and runs. And God will provide those needs for you. The other thing that we get discouraged by is when God doesn't answer us in the time frame that we think he should answer us. We get discouraged when we ask God, hey, can you provide this for me? And it's not instantly right there in front of us. How often does that actually happen? Never. But God will provide it to us according to his will. And that might mean waiting a little bit. That might be looking for other options rather than the best of the best. That might mean looking to what he wants for our lives rather than what we think we want for our lives. God will provide for us. Be thankful for that. We can be thankful for the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21 says, But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been made by the act of a human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Who wrote our Bibles? The prophets, the apostles, they put their for lack of better terms, they put the pen to the paper and they physically wrote down the words in Hebrew and Greek. They wrote down the words for us to know. But who guided those words? God. The Holy Spirit. It wasn't Paul or Peter or John that sat down and said, hey, listen, we're going to make this brand new religion, this brand new idea. Let's write it all out and make it look good. And it was God who said, this is what I've shown you. This is what has happened. And this is what I want you to write down. How do we know? How do we know? Because, well, one, God tells us, but also because we can see that in the Bible itself there's proof. There's proof that what God's word says, it holds true. And when we look at outside examples from the Bible, moving away from the Bible, we see that the Bible backs up those extra biblical claims. God provided the Bible to us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations has not been made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. There was a mystery. When you go back to the Old Testament and you read the Old Testament and you find places where you say, what is that talking about? What is Isaiah 53 talking about? Then you turn over to the New Testament and you read Jesus going to the cross and you say, oh, it's talking about Jesus. That was hidden for generations. They had it right there in front of them, but they did not understand what it was that they were reading, what they were hearing. But now, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we now today, 2,000 years later, can read the words from the Bible. and we can see the pattern. And we can have the mysteries that was hidden from the earlier generations. We can see those fulfilled today. We can see how they were fulfilled today. Ephesians 2:19 and 20. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We talked about this a few weeks ago, where we talked about building our house on two foundations. There's the good foundation. There's the solid rock that we can build our house on. Or there's the sand, the weak foundation. And what happens when the house that's built on a rock, it's hit by a powerful storm? It stands firm. What happens to the house that's built on the sand that gets hit by a weak wind? Or even that same powerful storm, it falls, it crumbles. It does not stand firm. Our lives need to be built on the foundation that is set for us in the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is God's plan for our lives. If there's ever a question of what God's will is, we are to turn in the Bible and find out what it is. It is the instruction manual for our lives. We are to use it. And we are to use it effectively. Be thankful for the Bible. As we talked about it, generations before didn't have the access to the Bible that we have today. Even in the time of the Old Testament, they had Old Testament books in the synagogue. In order to own a Old Testament book in the time, in the New Testament times, you had to have a lot of money. That book, that scroll that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading as he's driving along, and he's reading this Isaiah scroll, that would have cost him one whole year's wage. Imagine what you earn now in a year. That's what you have to give up to be able to purchase one book. It's a good book. It's a great book. Isaiah is a fantastic book. But to buy one scroll from the Bible, you need to pay a whole year's wage. But now we have it for free. We have it on our phone for free. We have it available to us for free. We have Bibles in the back. If you don't have a Bible, guess what? We will provide them to you so that we can read it, we can understand it, we can apply it to our lives, and we can grow in Christ. Be thankful that we live in a time where the Bible exists. We can be thankful for the plan of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Before all things were put into motion, before the foundation of the world that we know it, before anything was created, God had a plan. God knew, I'm going to give these people free will. They are not going to follow me. They're going to put that free will above mine. He knew it. This is the amazing thing. He still chose to go through with it. He still chose to create us. Why? Because he loved us. But not only that, not only did he know that we were going to do, that we were going to fall into sin, he had a plan. He had a rescue plan available. He knew what he was doing. And he planned out, this is how I am going to rescue them. Why? Because there's nothing that we can do to rescue ourselves. God rescues us. Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Ephesians, it talks about God had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He chose us. It's not an individual basis. It's not, hey, Bob, Paula, Kim, Brian, Tom, you guys are good to go. Everybody else is lost. It's not based off of an individual basis. What it is that we were chosen, the church was chosen. Anyone who is part of the church is chosen. You still have free will. You still have the ability to say, hey, I'm no longer part of that church. But as long as you are part of the church, you are chosen. And that choosing comes with the plan of salvation, the gospel. We need to believe the gospel message. And when we believe it, when we hear it, and we understand it, where we confess it and we repent of our sins, we repent of our old lives, and the last thing that we do is we are baptized, not for some, hey, I'm already saved. I don't need, this is just a nice sign of my faith. No, it's not for that reason. It's for salvation. Acts 2:38, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. For means it needs to be done. You're doing it for this reason, that you're still in sin and you need those sins to be washed away. As we are baptized, we leave behind that old life. We have our sins washed away and we're added to that one body, the church. Psalm 103 Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God has chosen to forget. It's not that God forgets our sins. It's that he chose to forgive them. He chose to no longer remember them. And he has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Do the east and the west ever meet? No. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on forever. even if you leave the planet and you decide, hey, I'm going to head west. I don't exactly know how you would choose that in space, but you say, I'm going to head west. You'll continue west for ever until you run into something. You'll never hit east. But that's how much God, that's how far God has removed our sin from our lives. He chose not to remember it anymore. And that comes through Jesus. And we receive that forgiveness by our faith in Him and our obedience to follow His word in our lives. We can be thankful for God's plan of salvation. So let me end with this. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a safe and a blessed holiday. We'll meet again on Wednesday. We're not taking Wednesday off. And so if you're here on Wednesday, I'll say the same thing. Have a happy Thanksgiving. But for those of you that are not going to be here on Wednesday, have a safe and blessed holiday. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And consider these things when, if you're like my family, we have a tradition of going around the table and saying one thing or two things that we're thankful for. And consider these things, things that you might not have thought about being thankful for. And remember in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18, it says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God has provided us so many things. More things than I have listed, more things than we even can truly know about. God has provided for us. And so this holiday season, think about how can you be thankful for those things? How can you thank God for providing so much for us, for loving us unconditionally? So now I ask, if you're ready to obey the gospel, if you know what it takes to become a Christian and to become saved, or if you have any other spiritual needs, I ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing A Wonderful Savior, number 545.